The purpose of Wealth Talk is to educate, inform, and hopefully entertain you on the subject of building your wealth. Wealth Builders recommends you should always take independent financial, tax, or legal advice before making any decisions around your finances.
Welcome to episode 122 of Wealth Talk. My name is Christian Rodwell, the Membership Director for Wealth Builders, and I'm joined today by our founder, Mr. Kevin Whelan. Hi, Kevin.
Hello, Chris. Good to be with you again on episode 122 and continuing the family theme.
We are. We had such a great response from last week's episode, which was with Neil Morgan. And we obviously co-creating the Wealth Builders for Families program with Neil. And Neil is a teacher. He's also a member of the Wealth Builders Academy. And he shared an update with us all last week. And as I say, we had so many people getting in touch following that episode, just saying, yeah, keep us updated. We love this idea. We want to know more. So we thought, well, what else can we do to bring some more? So we've invited our co-director, Mr. Paul Brooks. And he is talking today about how to create a family trust fund.
And don't get kind of bamboozled by language. I mean, if you think about the three words there, the one in the middle is the one that confuses people, isn't it? The word trust. I mean, it's a interesting word. So we're still talking about families, and we want to give our kids and our young people the best head start in life and teach them responsibility, get into some good habits, get them involved, get them feeling like money's part of the depth of the family relationship, as opposed to the taboo that it was in my day, and I'm sure in yours as well, Chris. So the trust bit in the middle is a combination of two things. One is legally, when you separate something out and you put it into a box, a vault, you know, something that you've got going to create some rules around it, then, you know, that's often the use of the word trust. You create a set of rules, but in this case, it's a set of easy pension rules, which makes it super, super tax efficient. And I'm sure Paul will very elegantly go into the tax efficiencies, but crumbs. I mean, if you think about our children, they're going to be paying taxes all of their life, right? So why wouldn't you get some tax relief as soon as you can? And in some cases, as early as the very day, you know, they're born, really. I mean, you can claim tax relief for newborns. So some very interesting things that Paul will be able to share. But don't get bamboozled by the language, right? So it's a way to help you build something tax-free, to help your family grow in terms of their financial future.
Okay, well, that sounds good. So perhaps we should just get straight into our conversation today with Paul Brooks. Paul, good to have you back on Wealth Talk today.
Hi, Chris. Pleasure to be here as always.
So it was earlier on in the summer when you were last on the podcast. And that time we were talking about three SaaS strategies that business owners can use to build their wealth. And, you know, you've got a lot of knowledge. We know that when it comes to pensions, and especially that SaaS pension, which we so much love. And we're kind of taking a different spin on it today, aren't we? And we're talking specifically about how to create a tax-free family trust fund. So why don't we kick off by actually dissecting what is a family trust fund?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, look, as you said, it's a topic that's hugely close to my heart. You know, Wealth Builders have been helping people with this solution for a long time, but I want to take us down a slightly different angle, as you said today, because really this trust fund, this family trust fund, is such a powerful tool for business owners to ultimately take an asset that almost everybody has already got in their life, which is pensions of one kind or another, and to transform it into, you know, an enormously powerful wealth generating and income generating asset. And that's an asset that can look after you for many, many years, but also is a hugely powerful tool that will look after your loved ones for many years, long after you're gone, if you do a great job of creating it. And as you already alluded to, it's something that, you know, we are big fans of. It's a big specialism of ours. And of course, it's the SaaS pension. Of course, course, it's not just great for existing pensions. And I guess that's what we'll get into today as well. And that's the sort of slightly different angle I was alluding to there.
Okay, good. So, you know, there's a lot of different reasons why someone would want to look at this. So I think it's probably best if we just start running through some of those reasons. So where would we begin? Why? What are some of those benefits?
Okay, well, I think probably the single biggest benefit, or there are two, in fact, focus on tax. And as we chat through the points, we'll obviously expand on that in a little bit more detail. But for me, one of the number one reasons why people can think about and should be thinking about, you know, whether a SaaS pension would work for them is because it really significantly maximizes the legacy that you will leave over a number of decades. And that serves you well, hopefully, during the time in your life when you're looking to tap into asset income and do live the lifestyle that you want to lead. But I suppose the point I'm making here first off is a SaaS is an entirely inheritance tax-free family trust fund. No inheritance tax to your loved ones at all, as long as you leave it to them in the right way and you make sure you've got a few things in place, falls completely outside of the scope of inheritance tax, which is pretty huge, I think. When members of the SaaS, the people that are in the SaaS and working together to make their money work hard and to do all those good things and ultimately, you know, create themselves a great income vehicle and a future legacy vehicle, get to the age of 55. Now, that's current. Actually, in a few years' time, sadly, the minimum pension age in the UK goes up to 57, which will be a bit disheartening for some, I'm sure. We're all living longer. The state is struggling to support us all. And of course, we've all seen the way that the state pension age has increased over recent years. Unfortunately, personal pensions and company pension minimum ages are going up too. But each member in that SaaS gets the ability to tap into the first 25% of their share of it completely tax-free. No income tax, no capital gains tax, no tax of any kind on that first quarter, which, you know, can be hugely helpful for you if you're at that stage of your life when you're looking at building more assets. You know, for example, property is an obvious asset class that lots of people are interested in. And as fantastic as a SaaS is, there is one very big thing that it can't do, and that's to buy residential property. Without straying off onto a property tangent here, we know lots and lots of our members like property as an asset class. So one of the things that you could use that money for is to consider whether you can create more income in your life through using it to buy an asset, whether that's property or something else. And I suppose the other big tax benefit is back to the point I was making a little while ago, which is if you do a great job of this, it can be, you know, a really powerful income generating tool for you, hopefully for many, many decades, long before you get to thinking about leaving a legacy. And so the other hugely significant power that a SaaS has is the ability, like all pensions, to allow you to have completely tax-free growth on your money until at least the age of 75.
Okay. So we're already beginning to see some of the power here.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, actually, it could also be long after the age of 75. The only reason 75 is a key age is because it's at that point where certain tests need to be performed on all pensions to assess their value. And that takes us on to another point in a moment, which people often get confused about, actually, which is lifetime allowance, of course.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that one, Paul, because maybe you can just explain. Obviously, a lot of our listeners and members already have SaaSes. They understand about a lifetime allowance, but just explain what is that and why is it different when it comes to the family trust fund?
Sure. Well, you're absolutely right. Sadly, though, lots of people don't fully understand the lifetime allowance. Look, it's hugely complicated, overly complicated, probably. And people do get confused with it, and it can sometimes lead them to thinking that a SaaS might not be for them because they might be somewhere close to already at or above that lifetime allowance figure. In as simple a way as I possibly can describe it, the lifetime allowance is easiest thought of, I think, as like a glass ceiling for your pension savings, for the value that you've got in all of your pensions, UK pensions specifically. Okay, so whether you've got a SAS, whether you've got other pensions, whether you've got a SAS and some other pensions, it doesn't matter. The total value of all your pensions is taken into account using something called the lifetime allowance. And as I say, it's this glass ceiling that at that point, which right now in the 21-22 tax year, which is what we're in at the moment, it's just a shade over £1 million, £1,073 and a few hundreds. But that £1,073 is the amount of money you can have in your pensions before HMRC start to apply some tests to that money. But those tests are taken at sort of pretty key junctions in people's lives. So yeah, the common misconception is as soon as you get to £1,073,000 or whatever the lifetime allowance figure is in the future, you automatically stop getting tax-free growth. But that isn't the case. It's absolutely not the case. In fact, your pot still continues to grow, but it means that at a point in the future, there might be a test performed on your pension. And the outcome of that test might be that if you're in excess of that lifetime allowance, that there will be some tax to pay on the value of the pension over and above that limit. Does that make sense? Have I explained that in as simple a way as I possibly can? I think I have.
Yeah. So certainly there's no reason for someone to kind of take their foot off the pedal when it comes to hitting that figure. You know, they should, if they wish, continue to keep building up their pension pot.
Oh, for sure. And there are some really quite clever and sophisticated things that you can do if you have a SaaS that are unique to it because it's a multi-member pension. So unlike personal pensions, which are for one person and one person only, a SaaS is a multi-member pension. It can have up to 11 members and they can be family members, spouses, they can be business partners. It can be any mix of people that you choose. And, you know, you need to choose carefully because that means you're basically almost in a JV agreement with the people that you invite in. But, you know, each one of those people has their own lifetime allowance. You compound your returns because you all invest together. But if you're a family, let's say, you know, a typical family setup, you know, 2.4 children, let's imagine, there's a really, really clever function that you can use, which is called earmarking. And what it allows you to do is to carefully allocate the returns from different investments that the SAS has to different members. So let me explain what I mean by that. Just for simplicity, let's imagine you've got four members in the scheme. One of those people has a very high pension value, and the other three people have a lower pension value. Now, there's quite a sophisticated way of balancing out the books, if you like. And it isn't an instant fix. It's not something you can do overnight. It takes some years to put into place and to operate. But effectively, what it allows you to do is to individually pick year by year what returns from what assets get assigned to what member. And that basically means that you can deliberately stagnate the growth that goes to the person with the biggest pot. And you can deliberately increase the amount of growth that goes to the people with the smaller pots. So over time, what you get is the effect of the smaller pots creeping up at a higher rate than they would and the larger pot slowing down, which of course then means that you start to maximize each person's lifetime allowance in the SAS. And that's a great way of actually mitigating the lifetime allowance taxes that could apply to the person with the larger pot.
So am I right, Paul, that any members need to be at least 18 years of age before they can join a SAS?
Yeah, that's right. To have a SaaS that doesn't have, you know, a huge amount of complexity and restrictions on it, which is 99% of people's SaaSes, all members would need to be trustees. And a trustee is a position of responsibility. So you have to be an adult legally, which here in the UK, of course, means you need to be 18 years old.
And if someone's listening now, Paul, and they've got children that are younger than that, but they're very interested in this concept, what can we do with children, obviously, under the age of 18?
Well, that's a great question. And there's a really interesting answer to that. And it's really not very well known. You can create a pension for a child, a basic, simple pension, if you want to. If you want to start thinking about creating a future pot of money for your children, if you want to start building almost an upfront legacy for them in advance, and you know, it could be you as the parents, it could be you if you're the grandparents for your grandchildren, you can actually start contributing into simple pensions for children so that every year you're putting money away. And the great thing about that is that when you put that money into the pension, HMRC top it up by 20% for free. Now, there are some limits because, of course, when HMRC are giving away money for free, it's usually within some confines. But each child or grandchild could have up to £3,600 in a pension as new money each year, which includes the top up from the government. So it's actually £2,880 of your cash could go in to a pension for your child, and then the government would top that up in the tax year to make it 3,600.
And someone could do that as soon as they're born. They could set that up.
Yes, you can create a pension for a child as soon as they're born if you want to. And if you wanted to, every single year, you could pay that small amount of money in and the government would top up straight away with 20% tax relief. So do that over a number of years, it can have a really significant impact, you know, over 18 years of a child's life, depending on what investment returns you get. And of course, that's always, you know, the challenging thing, but you could end up with a pretty fantastic pension for your child or your grandchild by the time they've reached 18, let alone them creating pensions from any employment that they have past that point.
And then can they take that pension and almost attach it to the SaaS or bring it in?
Absolutely. As soon as they're 18 and if they understand the role and if you as a family agree that it's sensible for you to all do that. And actually, as just as a quick aside, I think it's a fantastic way of educating your children about how to build and manage wealth. I mean, doing it as a family for me feels super cool because even from a young age, you're helping them think about their financial wealth and their financial future. But yeah, you're absolutely right. When they're 18, any age after that point, you can bring in the existing pensions that you've created for them. I mean, just a very quick point, of course, which is, you know, anyone thinking about creating something like this should definitely speak to a qualified financial advisor, of course, and they can guide you on the most appropriate type of pension and help you understand what can and can't be done. But definitely something that is well worth thinking about if you're looking to almost future-proof and pre-fund your child's legacy and their assets for the future.
Mm. And maybe there's a point attached to that around whether you can employ your teenage children. Maybe you can expand on that, Paul.
Yeah. I mean, the employment laws in the UK, I'm led to believe, allow businesses to employ teenage children, I think, if I'm not mistaken. So I'm just going to say I'm not 100% on this. I'm pretty sure it's from 14 onwards. You can check with your tax expert or an accountant. But let's say from when you're in your mid-teens, you could, if you wanted to, start employing your children at a reasonably low level, at a sensible level. But that would have the impact of allowing you as a business to also pay some pension contributions towards that pension, which means that the standard minimum £3,600 we were talking about could be topped up on because it's pension contributions that are being paid from the business. And the great thing about that, and actually in general, not just for children, but for any business owner, it's a big point, so we should touch on it now, is there's a huge tax efficiency to paying pension contributions into any pension. But obviously today's topic is SaaS, because the value of those pension contributions should be tax deductible for the business, which means an immediate corporation tax saving on that money. So it's a brilliant way of shifting wealth from what is ultimately the taxable environment of a business into the tax-free environment of the SaaS, and of course the future inheritance tax-free environment too, of course.
Keeping more of your own money, which is really the whole ethos behind the SaaS, right?
Well, absolutely, absolutely. Look, you know, anything you can do to mitigate the amount of tax you can pay and to be creative with your wealth and the way that you structure your wealth is definitely something that you should be considering, not least, you know, as a business owner, but for anyone with you know, plans to create and build wealth, it's, you know, tax planning is a fundamental part of that. But, you know, huge benefit in paying in new contributions for you, for your children. And as we've said, you know, you can start at a very early age.
There's a few criteria, aren't there, around eligibility for who can and can't set up a SaaS. And obviously, we've helped hundreds and hundreds of people with that. And it's a relatively simple process, certainly just to ascertain is someone SaaS ready or not. Obviously, you have to be a business owner. So that's one of those criteria. You have to be a director of a limited company here in the UK. But let's just talk about the business element then, Paul. You know, some of the other benefits, protecting the money from business risk, perhaps.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great point. And, you know, I suppose one of the other values that you gain automatically when you've shifted wealth from the business into the SaaS, let's say through some contributions, which you can do each tax year, because each tax year, the allowance that a person gets for new contributions renews. It's currently £40,000 per tax year. That might change in the future, but at the moment it's £40,000 per individual per tax year. But one of the great things is if you've got a business that holds lots of cash, putting to one side, there can be challenges with things like business property relief, which is a whole other topic for a different day, probably. But that money's not doing anything. It's probably not working, and it certainly won't be working tax free. By contributing that money in, you're almost wrapping it up within the safety net of the SaaS. So not only is it sheltered from tax on growth and income and obviously inheritance tax in the future, but you take it outside of the risks that a business can encounter, like going into administration or liquidation. You know, it's no longer an asset of the SaaS when it's paid as a no longer an asset of the business. It's not on the business's balance sheet anymore. It's paid in, it's been, you know, claimed as a tax relievable expense. It's now owned by the SaaS. So as long as you're not, you know, deliberately manipulating things with a failing business and just pumping lots of money into the SaaS, knowing imminently the business was failed, that isn't allowed. And undoubtedly the courts would undo that. But if you've got a genuine business operating live and active, making good profit, and you're paying money in, and then some way down the road, as sadly we've seen in the last 18 months, things can happen that derail the business, that money is not liable to attack from creditors or from being sued for doing something, you know, in the general course of business. And these are all business risks that every business owner takes, but, you know, it's another way of protecting the wealth for the future.
So, Paul, we've covered obviously all of the tax benefits there, tax-free growth until 75, maximising the legacy for many decades, how to really involve all your family, obviously get your kids started early with pensions and the education around that as well. And obviously we're developing the Wealth Builders for Families programme as well. So, you know, some of this information we'll definitely be including in there as well. Is there anything we haven't covered around the topic of creating a family trust fund?
Well, I don't think so. Probably only one thing, and it's really just a practical point. But, you know, we've been talking about boosting the value with contributions. We've been talking about, you know, having the SaaS as a great family tool for educating your children. We've talked about the tax benefits, but I suppose if you think about it in a very practical and a simple way, bringing your children into your SaaS ultimately extends the life of that pension trust fund, because, you know, when we're no longer here and we pass things on to our children, just like you can pass on a business to your loved ones, they really need to be children, of course, but to your loved ones, you can pass on your SaaS to your loved ones and they can inherit it as a tax-free trust fund and they can continue to operate it in the same way. So they ultimately take the reins of the SaaS and they guide it forward for the rest of their life and hopefully create something that they can pass on down to their children or their loved ones.
Which is not the case with most traditional pensions.
Well, it's not, but not because the law doesn't allow it largely, but because most pension providers, especially company pensions, don't want to have to worry about keeping an asset with another beneficiary as the owner. They really usually want to just locate who you've nominated as your beneficiary and pay the money out to them. And certainly, if you're not very careful, what you can end up with is a fantastic tax-free legacy that just gets paid outside of the pension and gets paid to whoever you want to benefit, but now is no longer wrapped up in the safety net of that tax-free environment, which means at some point down the line, that money is going to be sitting inside that person's estate and probably is going to be under attack from inheritance tax. So, you know, a SaaS is geared up to do that. It is a perpetual legacy vehicle. So it's very easy for somebody else to take the reins and just continue on with that vehicle. It's far less easy to do that with other types of pension.
Paul, that's been absolutely fantastic. I think we've covered some really, really interesting points there. Hopefully some points that our listeners wouldn't have realised or been aware of. So we're going to have to get you back on a bit more regularly, I think.
Well, look, I'd love to, Chris. I really would. I find these chats just brilliant and I love sharing, you know, the knowledge that I've got with people just in the same way as you and Kevin do. I know that. So let's get another one in the diary soon.
Cool. All right. Well, see you on the golf course on Monday then, Paul.
Absolutely. Look forward to it. Hopefully we'll have some sun.
Hey, Paul's knowledge of pensions always shines through when we have him on the podcast there, Kevin, and certainly did again today.
Well, Paul knows his stuff inside and out, doesn't he? Only one minor correction I have, and it's always great when you catch Paul out. You know, you can actually employ children from the age of 13 in the UK, unless, of course, they're in the what we would call kind of performers. So if they're musicians or, you know, they sing in a musical or they do modelling contracts, things like that, then there's no age. But otherwise, it's from age 13. But look, you know, 13, 14, no big deal, right? But it's just fun every now and again to know a little bit more than Paul.
Yeah. Well, we've just been doing a few sums, haven't we? So we're going to share some interesting figures in a moment. But before we do that, Kevin, let's head to Trustpilot and let's thank one of our latest reviewers. And today, that is Neil. And Neil says, thanks to Kevin's guidance and mentorship, my wife and I have managed to avoid paying significant early withdrawal charges from our pension plan in our quest to move our funds into our SaaS. It's been a drawn-out three-month complaints process, but with Kevin's direction, we never gave up and pushed the pension company into a corner in the end. And we even managed to get an extra financial compensation from them for the time that we spent waiting for their formal response. So thank you, Kevin, and the team for all that you do.
I mean, that was a very interesting one. And one that I'm sad to say, in general terms, I see an awful lot, which is especially in pensions, you know, the whole word pension can be a bit grey, a bit dreary. And sometimes that dreariness, you know, leads people into a bit of a stupor. You know, they kind of sleepwalk with their pensions and can get almost in a place where the charges, which is one of the key issues, and we'll come back to that in a moment. But, you know, when we talked earlier on about tax-free things, and it's great to be tax-free, but another tax is fees, I mean, because it's reducing the value of your fund. And we noticed that with a particular company, and I won't name them on recording, but there's a particular company that consistently has fees and penalties but they haven't necessarily been, let's say, transparently explained. And we know this, and we know the process now, and pretty much every time we, you know, show our client what the process is, then they pursue that. And as long as they don't give up, you know, there is a process. It takes time, as Neil said, several months, but it can lead to a saving or an elimination of thousands and thousands in fees that would really, and otherwise would have put somebody off from taking that control. And so I'm delighted that for Neil and his family that they pursued the matter, and I'm delighted that we got the result with them and for them, which will make a dramatic difference in the future of their family's wealth. And I'm delighted for that. I really am.
Yes. Well done, Neil. And thank you so much for leaving a review. And if you're enjoying listening to the podcast, then we'd welcome any reviews. And you can do that easily by heading to wealthbuilders.co.uk/reviews and read all of the most recent ones there as well. So we're focusing today, Kevin, on the Family Trust Fund. And we know that the SAS pension, you know, allows you to create that. And we know that many of our members at setting up SASs, you know, to help themselves with their own businesses, to build their own wealth. But some really interesting points there from Paul today about just how you can start getting the kids or even the grandkids involved at an early age. And one of those was, as we said, starting a pension almost from the day they're born. And you were doing some calculations, Kevin, and maybe we can share some of those numbers. If you were just to start putting some money in, how that would grow.
Yeah, well, you think about financial independence. And everybody that, you know, we believe should be on a quest to become financially independent. And we know 95% of the population don't do it. Now, just think about this for a moment and just let the numbers sink in. So, and the reason why I was thinking about this actually is because, you know, those people who know me know I've got a grandson now. He'll be coming up one this October. And, you know, we've been doing some, making some decisions about the family and helping our family. And Paul mentioned this contribution that even a baby can have, which is up to $2,400 a year, which is then topped up by the government to $3,600, which then compounds and grows in a fund, you know, forgetting anything complex, just straightforward. You know, normal fund, say it's growing at 6% a year, which, you know, pretty much would be a reasonable expectation. Then if you put that £200 a month away, which is what we'll be doing for our first grandson, and that money grows, say, to a normal pension, which today's, say, 55, but just so you get the feeling for it, because we're not being prescriptive here, just when you get the imagination going, that fund would be just over £1 million by the time that young lad becomes 55. So you can make your grandchildren pension millionaires for £200 a month. Now, I'm not saying everybody should jump on and do that. If you've got the financial wherewithal, you know, you can do that and you can leave money in your will to continue that on if you're not going to survive, which, you know, I probably won't be around 55 years' time, right? But the point is, the value of compounding and the value of getting money to work. And the SAS gives permission for returns potentially significantly higher than 6%, as we've seen with many of our clients who go on to do things for themselves that increase that to 8%, 9%, 10%, and even more in some cases. So the opportunity is just massive. And I just encourage you to think that a pension can do something for young people, even though they might not be able to use it for university or, you know, first car and things like that. But that's something different. And we'll be touching all of those things in the Wealth Builders for Families program. So how you can help kids when they're the very beginning, what you can do with them, what you can do for the kind of when they start to reach university age, and then what you can do to help them prepare for the longer term. And certainly Paul's right that you can start with SAS to bring them in. And you're a smart man, Chris. You're picking up your pensions knowledge. Yes, you can transfer you know, pensions that have been started and into the SAS. And that, again, increases that overall kind of family connection, doesn't it? I mean, it's about the SAS is an inclusive thing. It involves the family. So and you can keep that trust fund going for years and years and years and years because the trust fund is owned by the family. It's not owned by an insurance company. Whatever the name of that insurance company, it's their profit that they're thinking about. Whereas a family trust fund in your family's name, you can keep as much of that profit where it belongs with you and your personal wealth and the wealth of your loved ones. And that's why we encourage everybody who can to have a little look at SAS. And there are other similar type pensions in other countries, in Australia and in America and so forth. So wherever you are in the world, and we know we have listeners across the globe, Chris, find out from a reputable advisor, you know, what offer and what availability there is something that does something similar to the SAS pension or small self-administered scheme here in the UK.
Sure. And, you know, if you've got questions, just drop us an email, hello@wealthbuilders.co.uk. If you do happen to be outside of the UK and you're not quite sure what the equivalent, just drop us a message and we'll do everything we can to help you. And if you just want to book a chat and have a chat with one of our team, then drop us a line and we'll set that up for you. And just pointing back to last week's episode as well, you know, if anyone wants to find out more about the Wealth Builders for Families program, do have a listen to episode 121. I will link to that one in the show notes today, as well as our last episode with Paul, which was 3 SaaS strategies that business owners can use to build their wealth. And there were some really, really good ideas in that episode as well.
Yeah, it's interesting. And just so you know, Chris, I'm quite pleased. I've been invited to the House of Commons. Yes.
Really?
I've been invited to a meeting with the ex, she didn't invite me personally, I have to say, but anyway, the ex-pension minister, Baroness Ros Altman, who, interestingly enough, in the news recently said it's time for people to get connected to their pensions. And pensions should be something we are proud of. I wonder if she's heard of SAS. Exactly what a SAS does. So I'll be meeting her in a few weeks' time and I'll be definitely banging the drum on behalf of SAS, not just traditional pensions. You know, I'm not against them, but I think there's some value in understanding that there's more choice. And well, who knows what will happen from that, but it's going to be an interesting opportunity for me to rub shoulders with decision makers and influencers. And I hope I can do something to help shape the way that pensions are distributed and run in the UK, because it's sometimes I think it's not necessarily done for ease of understanding and for the benefit of the families themselves. It seems to be very much about profit.
Well, congratulations, Kevin. We'll look forward to the update after that one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good. Well, thank you for listening today. We hope you enjoyed this episode. And Kevin, we'll catch up same time, same place next week.
Until then, my friend. See ya.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Don't forget that we are constantly updating our resources inside the Wealth Builders membership site to help you create, build and protect your wealth. Head over to wealthbuilders.co.uk/membership right now for free access. That's wealthbuilders.co.uk/membership.